So there we go. So just needed a moment to catch up. There's a verse in Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son." This is Jesus said this, and he's saying it to us, the church. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." For many of us, or for all of us, that's a commission for us for every day. It doesn't mean we need to go as Monique did, even though that's an opportunity. Yet, every day we have that commissioning to go into our world that God's given us and make disciples. And part of that, a big part of that, is us being a disciple. You know, we basically make what we are and reproduce what we are. But there are also opportunities when we do go to other nations and other places that God has sent. And I thank God for that, because that is, it's part of, I believe, the commission. It's not just sticking here, but going out too. And so one of those, another person who just came back from one of those trips is Ray Gardner. And Ray's going to come. He was in India, and he's going to take a few moments and share with us some of his experiences over in India. So this is Ray. We appreciate you.
I want to say thank you to our awesome pastor. He said I had to say that if I was going to talk.
I did.
So I want to thank you all for the prayers. I know a lot of you have been praying for me, and I really felt it. I felt your protection. And you can continue to pray for me, because I kind of like your prayers. I had a chance to go to some. First week, I went on a medical mission. So we had four different camps, and Angie, you're going to put up some pictures, right? There they are. Oh, okay. So first I went on four medical camps and maybe saw a total of like 900 people, and then the second week went down to another part of India where I knew some pastors, and there were two crusades, and I got to talk at a pastor's conference and at some churches. So this is, I also visited a leper colony. One of the ladies you can see doesn't have any fingers. So I prayed for them. It's interesting, they didn't want prayer for the leprosy because that was cured, but they all had arthritis in the knees, so they would be an orthopedic doctor's minefield or whatever, heaven. And some of them got better. This, go to him. His name's, he's a pastor who started the medical, was in charge of the medical camps that we went to. His name's Gary Bellis. His brother came and talked here at Friday night at the center. I wanted to thank you for praying for me, but I want to ask you all if you would make a commitment to pray for some of the people you're going to see. This is one of the people. How many of you guys would be willing to pray for these people? Oh, good. So if you could pick one person and promise to pray for them. He has a small church in Pennsylvania, but somehow God has blessed him with all these goods. He's literally delivered like a trainload of goods to Siberia. He has these medical mission trips. But when we were talking, he was mentioning about so many of the people, pastors that he knows that's in his organization, and our key people are either dying from accidents or have serious illnesses. And I just, in my heart, I felt like God was saying his organization's being cursed. And so we prayed against that. So you could pray that God would, any curses would be changed to blessings. So next picture. And this is one of the pastors, John Syriac, that's his grandson. But his wife has kidney failure. So there's just so many people that were just serving God, and you could tell they were being attacked, not just opposition against the gospel, but their own families. So next picture. This is just a child that just kind of caught my heart. That was one of the frustrations. In the medical camps that we went to, two of the camps, the pastor said, "Don't pray for anyone, because then when you leave, we'll get beat up." Or another camp we went to, the official said, "You're not allowed to give out any antibiotics, because your antibiotics will be better than ours, so you can't give it out." So I felt so frustrated that I couldn't do more. And I had this dream over there. I woke up, and I dreamt I had a sword. I'm pounding the ground saying, "I should have loved them more. I should have loved them more." And it just kind of broke my heart that I wanted to love these people more. Next one. These are two saints you're going to meet in heaven. The one on the left, this young woman, her name is Opasna, and she, her husband, Vicky, and she will start churches in very dangerous areas. And she's going to be going to an area further north in India than I was. So think about Taliban. She has to go in territory where she has to go in disguise, pretend not to be a Christian. So she's always smiling, but I wouldn't want to do what she does. The other woman on the right is a physician. She's a pediatrician. She works full-time at a government hospital, long hours, poor pay. And all of her vacation time and all the money she saves, she goes on these type of mission trips to poor areas, and that's all that she does. So she just dedicates her life. So you could pray for protection and fruit for the fruitfulness for their ministry. Next picture. This young man's name's Rabi. He just finished Bible college, and he's on fire for the Lord. He wants to go to all these villages. He already has a team of other young men all over India that want to join him with it. And he asked for prayers. I've known him for like 10 years. And so I was talking to him about whether he believes in spiritual gifts, and he doesn't believe in spiritual gifts at all. He thinks, no, they're for the past. So I was going to talk at his church, and I said, well, can I just say what I think God would want to say to some of the individuals? So at the end of the service, in third person, I just would call up someone and give a prophetic word, but in third person. I did it to three or four people. And afterwards, you could tell, he was like, this is true, but I don't believe it. This is true, I don't believe it. So a week later, I'm going to speak at the church again, and he's all excited. He says, one of the women in the church had a big ceiling fan that fell and just missed her. And so the woman came to Rabbi and said, why did God save me? And without thinking, Rabbi said, you have grandchildren that live with you, and you need to teach them about the Lord, and you are going to see them baptized. So he gave a prophetic word. And he said, now I know that true believers can see into the lives of other people. So it's like when he said that, I wanted to cry. You know, it's like, God, how did you do that? You just switched his mind thinking. Next picture. So you could pray for him for that. This is his father and mother. His father was a Hindu, became a Christian, became an evangelist, went into a Hindu area and began converting Hindus, got beat up, established a church. He was beat up several times by the police. He's just a strong man for God, but he lost his church. The government took his church away to build a road. So now the church meets in his home. So you could pray that he has a land, that land right there, he wants to build a church he owns. So you could pray for that. Next. This guy's a real character. He was actually here in our church and talked. He's the president of the Pastors Association in this city of over a million people for the last 7 years. And he met Bishop Hammond, and he's been trying to get someone to come and teach the prophetic to the pastors that he's there. So he's been telling them for several years that I'm going to bring a team. So you could pray that God will provide a team to teach the prophetic to these pastors that he teaches. Next slide. And more pastors you could pray for. Next slide, I'll end this up. He also wants to have a nursing school because young women in India are very disadvantaged if they can't earn a living. They might get, in fact, we met a mother whose daughter had to get married to someone that wasn't nice and he took her away, or they fall into prostitution or something. So he has this dream, and this is a Mother Teresa nursing school we visited. So he's a dream to start another nursing school. And he wants to call it Sister Barbara Nursing School, after someone I know. So I think, is there one more picture? Or is that it? That's Pastor Dave again and his wife. And is that it? Probably. Any more? So you could pray for these people if you would, and pray if we could have a prophetic team. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. Thank you for your courage. For those who don't know, Ray's wife's name is Barb, and she's a nurse, so appreciate that. If you would give that to him. You ever had something unexpected happen to your life, sort of surprise? And This week, Lois and I went, or actually Friday, we went up to watch Grace Ravelli had their band concert in, I don't know if it's a competition, up at Oak Harbor. So we went up there, and I don't know if you remember, it was really windy that day, and so I love watching the waves smash things, smash on the rock and smash hit things. So we thought, well, let's go up early and drive around, and so we went up there and was driving around trying to find the smashing waves. And so we went over to Marblehead, and they were okay. I mean, it wasn't, eh. And so Lois said, well, we should go to Lakeside over there and see them. So we went over to Lakeside, and we started waiting. And they were smashing over the pier and everything. And so I said, I got to get a picture of this. So I decided to go out on the pier and to take a picture. So I was standing on the pier, and as I was out there, you would have advanced that, or is it locked up? So I was out there, and I was standing there on the pier, and this wave hit. Now, while I was standing with my camera, and the wave hit. This is just the beginning, because first of all, it scared me because it hit so hard on the pier. But that wave hit, and as you can see, the trajectory of the water. And I was standing, so it went about 20 feet up in the air, and there's 30 mile an hour winds. So you can imagine where all that water went. So I was standing here, and I had a waterproof cover on my camera. So I didn't get to take the actual full picture because I only got one shot. That was it. And of course, Lois was enjoying watching this in the vehicle, wishing she had her video camera out, watching the whole thing happen. That was the first day I just bought a new winter coat on sale at Kohl's. But the main thing I got for this coat is it insisted it had to be waterproof. And so outside that, though, that was the only thing that was waterproof because everything else was soaked and wet and freezing because it was like 20 degrees. It was just crazy. So, but I quickly was able to recover from that because I got into a warm vehicle and got paper towels and wiped everything off. But, you know, there's sometimes situations we have in life that we don't as quickly get a recover. So, Jim, you want to come on up here? There's a verse in the Bible. It's in Philippians 4:6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Jimmy, want to share the vision you felt you had during the worship service today?
Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just walking, praying, worshiping back there, and I don't get many visions anymore, but it was quick and it was clear, and I saw immediately directly in front of me a pathway, like a dirt pathway, but a pathway. Did not see beyond where it was headed, but the most important thing was a huge rock, just fairly near, giant rock. And immediately I asked the Lord, what's it? It was very clear. And it was to encourage each one of you, and I felt like specifically there's a number of people in here who have in their mind agreed with God and says, I will. In fact, that song kept going through my head too, I will go, I will do whatever you're asking me to do, something like that. And some of you have made up your mind to say, I'm going to walk this path, and it felt like it was a warning saying, there are big rocks out there, and what's behind those rocks is what's terrorizing. Some of you are going to walk down this pathway that you're called, you're all excited about it, and the rock was even a little bit in the pathway, what was clear to me too. So it already was scary seeing that there's some potential harm, some potential robber, thief, and that was the terms that came to my mind. There are thieves and robbers hiding behind big rocks that Satan has placed there, and you must not let that deter you. God says the path is clearly, he told you where the path was going, but don't let that huge rock, and then even the robbers that jump out, still, that should not deter you. And I believe that God asks you to recognize and say, when these things happen, don't feel fearful. Don't be afraid whatsoever, but clearly God's going to protect you from whatever is jumping out in front of you. I just felt so strongly to encourage you and say, don't worry about those big rocks, or even when the thing really jumps out. It is real. The threats are real, but God still has your back and your front and your whole pathway, and he wants you to continue on. And the neat thing was, I did not see anything at the end, meaning to me it was like, the path's different. There's lots of you, and you don't know what that path is for other people, but whatever the pathway leads to for you, God says you are going to achieve what's at the end of that path. And it was important that you don't be deterred or fearful whatsoever.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. So going back again to this verse that he asks, the verse encourages not to be anxious. This word anxious actually means to be troubled with cares. So things that could to weigh us down, as Jim is sharing, when we look at our life, when we look at situations, these scriptures he was telling us to encourage us that by prayer that we can walk without being weighed down by the troubles of life. But their key here is not just praying, but it's the letting go. And the letting go part is the other part of there with thanksgiving. The with thanksgiving is when we declare to God, Lord, I thank you that you're with me. It's a declaration of Emmanuel, a declaration, God, you're with me in this. And I'm not just carrying this on my own. I don't know if you guys know what this picture is of. That's actually Mount Everest. Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. And it's fascinating. I don't know, how many of you ever been out to the Rockies? You ever been in the Rocky Mountains? Well, you know, Rocky Mountains are pretty big, aren't they? Well, the thing is that this mountain is twice as big as any mountain in the Rockies. So it's huge. It's a big mountain. And I know we have, all of us probably have faced different mountains in our life. And, you know, like Jim said, could be a path we're taking. It could be, depends on what size, because we got all kinds of different size mountains in our life. And, you know, even though it we might know actually why that mountain's there, it still doesn't change the fact that it's a mountain. We might totally we can understand, we can figure it all out. Lord, why did this happen? What's going on? But still, it's a mountain in our life that we have to overcome. And one of the main ways that we overcome these mountains is, as we just saw in Philippians 4, is through prayer. And if you read there, it said in there, the Lord was saying, to pray about every situation. Because he doesn't want us to be weighed down. You know, you might think, well, it's not that big of a mountain. But if you got a lot of little mountains in your life, it can weigh you down. It could start weighing down. So he says, every situation, everything that's going to bring care and a sense of weight, pray and give it to me with thanksgiving. I asked Kelly Crosby. Kelly, if you'd like to come on up. Kelly is going to share a testimony of one of those mountains and how God helped her to in the process of overcoming.
Thank you, awesome Pastor Perry, for asking me to share today. I haven't really shared a whole lot of this journey I've been on for the past year, I guess. I said it's because I'm embarrassed, but really, it's because I was ashamed. Not for the past year. That's been kind of amazing, but for the time before that. So, Christmas of 2015, we were able to go to Florida to spend Christmas with Sam's dad and stepmom, Dean and Jill Crosby, and we got to do all these wonderful things with our family. We got to take the boys to the beach, we got to go to Disney World and spend Christmas with family, and we had all these amazing pictures. And I looked at them and I went to share them, and I wanted to Photoshop every single picture that had me in it. I had gained weight over the years, but I had convinced myself that that was okay. I had this little voice in my head, you know, the little voice and where that comes from, telling me that that's just how I was going to be. I was hurt. My back hurt. My knee hurt. I was stuck. That's how I was going to be. And so I told myself, it's okay. Just live with it. And I hated myself more and more. I did pray. I had others pray with me. But here's the thing. In the Bible, in Proverbs 16:3, it says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." I didn't commit to anything at that point. I didn't make any plans for any change in my life because I still had that voice telling me that I couldn't do it. John C. Maxwell said, "We cannot become what we need by remaining what we are." And that Christmas, it opened my eyes, and I saw that I needed to change. Needed to. Not just so I was skinnier. But at this point, it was going to be a health issue. I have a husband. I have two wonderful sons. And I wanted to be able to be with them. Not just be there. I want to be with them and be healthy. And this was becoming a problem. I read a book called Made to Crave by Lisa Turkhurst. And she said, "God has given me power over my food choices. I am supposed to consume food. Food is not supposed to consume me." I prayed, and I felt that this was what I needed to do. This was the direction I needed to go, so I made some changes to my diet. But I knew that wasn't enough. It wasn't. I still had a lot going on, and I still had all my excuses for why I was going to be the same. And I continued to pray. I thought I was broken physically, and I didn't know how to fix it. And I prayed about that. Anytime Fitness, the gym over by Starbucks, called me in January. Sam and I are both members. We just never went. But they called me, and they wanted to talk to me about my goals for that year. Light bulb. I knew that was God right there telling me, do this. This is it. Go. So I went. I talked to them, and I immediately signed up for training that day. We cannot afford personal training in our house. This is a huge leap of faith. This is me trusting that that was God telling me, this is what you need to do for yourself. I had no doubts. I just did it. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So I went, and I became stronger. My trainer worked with me and showed me that I'm not broken. I can get stronger, and I did. So I kept going, and it became a source of joy for me. I like going. I like proving that my body can do things that I really didn't think it could do anymore. It wasn't easy. It was very difficult. There were days when I thought, I'm not going to keep going. I'm not going to do this. I did still hurt, but I kept going, and I kept praying. I can't tell you how many times over and over I heard, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Last June, I was able to complete a 4-mile obstacle course run with 58 obstacles in it. It was very muddy. Sam had fun taking pictures of that. But my husband and my boys were there to see that. And my boys thought that I was awesome, which was pretty cool. And a very big bonus, Sam decided that day that he had an interest in going back to the gym too. So now this is a journey that we're both on. It's not just me. And a year later, this is a part of our daily lives, like our daily conversations with each other, what we're going to do that day to help our health. I mean, it's part of our regular talking. That was never part of it before then. And this year, Sam is going to run that race with me. Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And so we have made that a big part of our lives that we neglected before. These changes have made a very big difference in our lives, not just physically. We have more of a can-do attitude about things. We don't put things off anymore. And we're more likely to face things that happen head on instead of just putting them aside. 2 Timothy 4:17 says, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. Do you guys see the theme here? All these verses I had this past year were all about strength. And he did. He gave me strength, and he still is. I just had to have faith in him and commit myself to what I was asking him for help with. I'm not finished with this journey. I've lost about 85 pounds so far. Thank you. But I want to see what else I'm capable of. I now have like a fire to keep going. I have a new verse a Bible verse for this year, and it's keep running the race that is set before you with endurance from Hebrews. Hebrews 12:1. One of the definitions of endurance is the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Endurance isn't just physical, that's mental too. It's basically not giving up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. Prayer was the tool that I used this past year and will continue to use to build my endurance, both physical and mental.
Awesome.
Amen. Well done. I believe it or not. No, I'm gonna have you do something. I ask Kelly if there's things in your life, situations, whether it's physically or spiritually, soul, relationships, that you just need that nudge or courage, sense that I just need to take that step. I need to go on. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I'm going to ask Kelly to pray and release that, just a blessing of courage for us, for different ones here who want to make that step and go and do what they know God's calling them to do. They just need that courage to do it. So if that's you, as she's praying, if you just lift your hand to the Lord and receive that, if you would, please.
Lord, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you for bringing us all together so that we can be with one another and hear about our lives and worship you. We all have things that we need to do to move forward with our lives, and we know that you want us to do them. And so we are just asking for your blessing, and we are believing that you can give us that courage to go forward and do what we need to do to be what you want us to be.
Thank you,
Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for sharing. You know, one of the things that, as Kelly was sharing there, is she could have given up, but part of what prayer does for us is it can plant seeds of hope in us. Even when we are at an end in ourself, when we begin to focus and we realize that in ourself, God, we can't find hope, we can't find courage, but when we turn our face toward him and we begin to look to him, there's always that sense of hope that he keeps bringing at. Why it's so important for us as Christians, no matter what situation we're in, to continue to pray. You know, as we're starting, when we talked about a mountain, starting to ascend that mountain, we have to start somewhere. I mean, we could be so afraid that we never take, as Kelly said, you never take that first step. But once we take that first step, we step out, then something begins to happen when we take that first step. And we might think, well, we can look at the whole mountain and say, I just can't do this. But you know, the only faith we need to have is faith to take that first step. We don't need to have the faith to take the whole mountain. We don't need to have the faith to take the whole journey. We just need to have faith to take this step. And some mountains may seem harder than others. Jesus said, and it's recorded in Matthew 17, verse 20, says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now, I don't know about you, but I know I've faced mountains in my life. I didn't even have mustard seed faith. I mean, it wasn't any like this sense of just going out there as Joshua and be able to declare and say, go and move, that I didn't even have the mustard seed faith to do that. In climbing a mountain on Mount Everest, there are what they have is camps, base camps. And each one of these base camps prepares you to go up higher. The thing is, if you see the lowest base camp is at 17,290 feet, which is higher than 3,000 feet higher than any Rocky Mountain in the Rocky Mountains. So it's pretty high to start with. But these base camps, and as you climb in that mountain, if you read or study anything about mountain climbing, as you get higher, the air gets thinner and the pressure changes. And it can affect how you think. It can affect your body, can affect your life. And when we're facing a mountain, if we're not ready for it, if we're not preparing and have the preparation, it can mess us up. You know, so even if we try to just run out there and do it ourselves, it can mess us up because we do things that could really end up impacting, be making things worse. And so prayer actually is part of this process of making sure that we have, because that's really what happens as you're going up there. What usually happens is you lack oxygen. You're breathing. How you process it, your body, how it processes it, it changes. And so as we pray, as we continue to pray through life in every situation, it helps keep a balance of that oxygen and the pressure. You know, there's a different pressure, atmospheric pressure, at sea level than there is at 29,000 feet. It's just different, and it affects us in life. Well, praying helps keep that balance. So then when we face these mountains, when we face these situations, we can have a sense of freedom. We can have a sense of stability in our life and in every situation that we have. When we are praying, and part of this, when we talk about base camp, it's not that nobody does this by themselves. You know, when they're going up here, nobody does. There's so far, they said Mount Everest, there's 5,000 people who have climbed Mount Everest. Out of the 5,000, 200 of them have died. Several of them are still on the mountain there because they can't find them. The mountain is the oldest person I think who's climbed is like 80-something years old. There's a couple who climbed it once and actually did their wedding on top of up there. And so, but the thing is that we need, in these base camps, we need people. It's okay to say to somebody, as Kelly, would you pray with me? You know, it's okay to say, I need others to help with that oxygen. I need others to help me to watch and care and why we encourage ones to be in groups and have relationships. You know, with part of being a family, and actually prayer, if you look at our church membership, part of the commitment of being a family, being a part of the American Christian family, is that we pray not just for ourselves, but we pray for others. And really, prayer is a part of any healthy relationship. Prayer is one of the most important things we can ever do for the people in our lives. It makes a difference. The enemy, one of the things he would love to rob us of, or rob you of, is to think that your prayers don't make a difference. To think that praying and talking to God doesn't change anything. But it does. It makes a great difference. There's several scriptures throughout the Bible that the Apostle Paul shared in Ephesians. He talked about he's praying for the different ones he knew. He says, I pray that your eyes of your heart would be opened, that you might know God's great love. And Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, you might have power to in your inner being. In another verse in 3:16, that you might be rooted and established in his love. And it goes on. There's several verses in the scripture that talks about prayer and talks about praying for one another. And I encourage you to look to the Bible and look in the New Testament and the different letters Paul wrote for prayers that I believe we're supposed to pray, because the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this isn't just something Paul thought up. This is what the Holy Spirit said, pray this. Pray this for one another. I'm going to ask if our musicians would come back up. There's a verse in James 5:16, if I go back, says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, nobody on the face of the earth is righteous without Jesus Christ. So to think that, well, I can't do this, this has nothing to do with me, but it does. If you have received Christ as your Savior, you are a righteous person. Not based on you, not based on your good works, not how good you were this week, not how much you, if you grew up in church or didn't grow up in church, or what your parents were, or what, any of that. It's totally based on Jesus Christ. And so this prayer, or this verse says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful, effective. I would like us, if we could go ahead and stand, please. I would like us to say this verse together. And then I have a confession next we're going to say. Let's read this together. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Then I would like to make this declaration. If we could do it even a couple times. Let's say this together. I am a child of God, and my prayers make a difference. Let's do it again. I am a child of God, and my prayers make a difference. God wants you to pray. Pray if you have kids, pray for your kids. If you're married, pray for your spouse. If you have friends, have pray for friends. If you work, pray for people who work. You go to school, pray for us. Your prayers make a difference in people's lives, and they need us to pray. That's part of our main calling. So God bless you. Andy's going to come back up and share a few things. Oh, it's not on you.